Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Vantage Point Podcast, where we bring insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm so glad you're tuning in to another episode of Vantage Point Podcast. Man, if it's your first time or 100th time listening, we're again, welcome back. And if it's your first time, man, we're a Christian podcast. We broadcast every week on all major platforms, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon Music Podcast. Man, we just so glad you're tuning in, and wherever you're tuning in, because we have listeners from all over the world, not just in the U.S. and not just here in Florida, but we have listeners in Spain, France, Australia, Russia, all over the world. So wherever you're listening to, man, thank you for being a part. Thank you for sharing and subscribing and all that you do to support Vantage Point Podcast. And so wanted to just make sure we do that every time we get together. And man, we are kicking off a new series today. This episode will kick off something that's been in the works for a little bit, something that's personal to me and to the special guests that I have, because I said that, you know, one of the things that it's amazing to have friends that you can connect with and can share these things, and you have these journeys that you find out that you're going on together. And so for this entire series, I'm going to have the same guest host. Or actually just guest, because guest host is what we do in the summer. But I'm so excited to have her introduce herself. And we're going to get to that in 1 second. But I want to make sure, like, if you haven't gone back and listened to our last series, Reckless, man, I want you to pause. I want you to go back and listen, get caught up to everything Vantage Point. And man, you don't want to miss all the amazing things that God did through that series. But if you have caught up and you're all ready to go, man, we are so glad to bring this series to you. And I'm going to just real quick turn it over to my guest for this month of April and for this series. And I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Naomi Sangyumba, and it is such a privilege to be here. I am a... the founder of Speak Back to Life, where I help people win with words. A Rhema graduate, a University of Missouri, Kansas City alumni. And I have a love for people, love for words, love for God. And I'm an advocate for holistic care for underserved people. And so I love the topic that we're going to be discussing today. I super duper duper love it, and I'm excited to be invited here again. So I love this space, and thank you for inviting me.
And Naomi, we are so glad that you're here again. And yes, you heard right. Naomi has been on Vantage Point before. You can definitely go back and hear, I believe it was last year, during our Summer Takeover series, and she will be back for Summer Takeover 2024, so you don't want to miss that. And I know, like, let me just get it out the way, right? What we are talking about in the month of April, and so this series is called Headspace, and we are talking about therapy, mental health, healing, all of those things. And before you turn us off, please don't. Like, I know that this is a topic, right? Because as soon as you say the T word and the M word with the H words, like, y'all might think I just cursed y'all out. But no, man, we want you to stay locked in for this series. I promise you, this is not going to be anything like you've heard before. Like, this is not that. But I know, you know, my story, Naomi knows hers, and vice versa. We know each other's. And I'm telling you, the one thing that is constant in our stories is there's healing, there's therapy, there's a journey, there's mental health, and there's faith. All of those things are like on these intersecting roads in our minds. And that's the whole premise of the series, right? Headspace. Because this is what goes on in our heads, among other things, right? We're thinking about our faith. We're thinking about, you know, how can we get help? We're thinking about our problems. We're thinking about healing. We're thinking about being on the other side of hurt, being on the other side of pain, being on the other side of depression. And so we're going to talk about those things in this entire series. And, you know, really just to kick it off, right? Where this first episode, we're going to be talking about removing the stigma, right? And that's something that when it comes to therapy, there's a stigma, right? There's, oh, we don't go. This is not what you do. All of these things. things, right? And so I wanted to kick it off, right, with some statistics, right? Because I love when we do a series like this, we can get some data and we can, you know, break that down and all of those things. And so we want to start. So the one thing, first thing I found, Naomi, since 2020, right? We all remember 2020. I know it was 4 years ago, but we all remember COVID and all of those things. But since,
when the world decided to stop,
when the world said, hold on, guys, we need to take a time out because we got a lot going on. And I think, you know, honestly, like in my lifetime, that was like the first time I think I've seen like the entire world deal with the same thing, right? Like 9/11 was like America, right? That we dealt with that, right? That was our thing. Like that was something we experienced as Americans, white, black, Republican, Democrat, didn't matter. Like we all felt something on 9/11. But COVID was a global thing. Like it didn't matter if you were in the US, Australia, France, Italy, Iraq, Russia, we all dealt with COVID and it was all a thing, right? And it was such a time, right? And what's wild about that is since 2020, 30% of American adults have been to therapy. And just in the past year, 25% of adult women and 15% of adult men have received some form of mental health treatment therapy.
That makes my heart smile.
Yes. All right. It's like, okay, like this is some good things, right? And then just one more on it. So in 2020, 25% of white adults received therapy compared to 15% of black adults and around 12% of Hispanic adults. And so I want to jump in real quick and give the floor to Naomi for a little bit. And when you hear those numbers, right, when you think about COVID, when you think about the time, these last 4 years, right, what do you think when you hear those numbers? I know you said that it make you feel good, right? You feel good. But what are some other things you feel or other thoughts that you might have?
Well, there's a lot to be said and a lot in my mind when it comes to this topic. And I think that when we're talking about the stigma, what hurts me is that in our communities, a lot of people, when they think of mental health, they think of it mental illness. And mental health is like regular healthcare, right? And it would be equated to if we thought of healthcare as sick care. And the only thing that we thought about was sicknesses, or if someone was going to get physical care, the only thought that people that got trainers were people that needed help. But if we're thinking about mental health, we're thinking about the health of how we view life, how we succeed, how our relationships are, how we view ourselves. And so when you think of mental health, when you think of going to get therapy, it should be something that's exciting because you're going to work on becoming the best version of yourself. And so I love, and I hate that I have to say it like this, but I love what COVID did for a lot of people, because what COVID did was make people pause. And when we were paused, there are so many people that were realizing, you know, I can't work it away. That there are some things that caught up. There are some things that still needed to be worked on. There are some things that that they had time to actually work on. And so I think that was the beauty of the global pause that we had with COVID.
No, I think while it is an interesting way to say it, right, but it is a true statement, right? And I love what you said, like we couldn't work things away, right? Like it wasn't, we couldn't go out and have fun things away. We couldn't, you know, just get lost in partying or other things that we normally would do to help, you know, kind of in a way medicate those things, right? And not cure them, not heal us from them, but, you know, give us that medication, give us that placebo effect, so to speak, to say, you know what, let me numb this away a little bit. Let me do that. But when it was COVID, like, we had nowhere to go, we had nothing to do. And we were like faced with ourselves ultimately, right? Like, and we had to deal with those things. We had to make it seem, you know, we had to ultimately, like you said, those are things that we had to come face to face about. And, you know, when we look back like 4 years later, right, we had to, you know, I think another thing, we really found out how things affected us, right? Not just COVID, right? But I think when you think about like the political landscape or our own relationships or other things, right, there was a different feel in that season, right? Whether it's 2020, 2021, and even, you know, as we've kind of moved away a little bit and got some normalcy back, we've still had this mindset or this thing where we've had to like deal with those things, right? And understand like, man, that really does affect me, right? And so it's been interesting to see that. And then now you see people are going to therapy. It's becoming, you know, more of a thing. You even see athletes stepping away from their sports, stepping away from their profession to deal with their mental health. And so I think in some ways, yes, like, right, it was something that was eye-opening to us all. And we said, you know what, this is something that we have to deal with. And so I'm curious, even like when you've seen some of that happen, right, these last few years where you have athletes stepping away, you've had people on jobs, you know, taking their time away to really prioritize their mental health. And I think that's another, you know, stigma. You mentioned that mental health, sometimes, you know, people equate it to mental illness. And those are two different things, as you said. And so what are some things, I know you know, you're helping people in certain ways with your organization and what you do, but what are ways that you help people like separate the two, outside of knowledge, of course?
Yeah, I like to make things practical when it comes to whether it's a coaching session or whether it's, hey, I'm coming because of this issue. I think for me, making things practical and then us being able to work together, whoever is coming with me, to find what the root or what the solution or what the desire is. Because everybody comes for different reasons, right? I see when it comes to behavioral health coaches or when it comes to therapists, it's almost like a gym, right? When people go to the gym, there are some people that are like, oh, I want to work on my abs, or I want to work on losing weight, or I want to work on my muscle mass. And so if you get specialized trainers for the what you want to work on, right? And so I think that with mental health, it's the same way. There's different modalities for therapy, psychotherapy. There's trauma therapists. There's reconciliation therapists. And then there are coaches. So depending on what the need is, you can go and get a specialty for that thing. And the whole point of it is for your health. For you essentially to prioritize your mental health and make sure that you get back to the state to be your best self. And and I think that the hard thing is that a lot of us have spaces, especially when you come from marginalized communities, you have multiple forms of oppressions. And so the needs are intersected. And so you have to ask yourself, like, is this something that's coming from a disability, or is this something coming from an impoverished place that I grew up in? Or is this a race or an identity issue? Or Is this something that I have to work on when it comes to my ethnicity or my gender? And how do these things, how are these things helping or challenging my mental health? You know? So, yeah. Long story short, yes. I would want to work with whoever it is that I'm talking to. I think that that's the thing. A lot of us, we don't really understand. There's competency gaps we don't understand. And so when it comes to this whole, like, I want to work on my mental health because we don't understand it, because the language isn't language that we're used to, because there's gaps, or maybe services are not readily available, so we don't really understand the culture of getting help. All these things tend to make us shy away from wanting to work on the area of mental health. And so I feel like I answered your question, and now I am going on a rabbit hole. And if you don't grab me away from this rabbit hole, I'm going to go deeper to some of the things that kind of make me sad about our communities, especially I'm Burundian American, and so especially marginalized communities, the immigrant and refugee communities, when it comes to wanting to get mental health care, and the things that cause us not to want to, or the things that cause us, the hurdles that come for us to wanting to get that care.
No, I think honestly, like, you are right on the money into what I want to go into next. And so I you know, it's a rabbit trail we need to go down. I'll say that. It's definitely a rabbit trail we need to go down, right? Because I think there's two like areas that I want to really get into when it comes to stigma and when it comes to mental health, when it comes to therapy, when it comes to those things. And so culturally, yes, I think we need to spend some time there and really unpack that, because, you know, when we talk about the stigma of therapy, when we talk about the stigma of even seeking mental health help, you know, when it comes to cultures, like, you know, you talked about marginalized communities, you talked about, you know, other aspects of other communities, your own included, and all of that, you know, there's you know, in some cultures, they would rather go to, you know, other family members or even like a primary care doctor, you know, for those specific symptoms rather than speaking to, you know, a mental health professional. You know, they believe others can help them. They may fear that, you know, within their culture, it's not accepted. You know, when we talk about the Black community, you know, we steer away from it altogether because whether it's mistreatment, things of that nature, you know, I know in my family and things that I've noticed, and even in myself, it's like, we just don't even want to talk about it. Like, we just don't want to talk about those issues. Like, no. And, you know, you'll see in the Black community, like, you'll go decades without dealing with things. And those things will just be festering and building and growing, and they become mountains at that point, right? And when you could have dealt with it when it was a molehill, when you could have dealt with it when it was something minor, and now it's something major that's created a wedge and a divide, and, you know, across families and even in yourself, to where we don't even understand, you know, things about us. You can even stretch it to, you know, and even some Middle Eastern cultures and Asian American cultures, you know, they think seeking mental health brings shame to the family, right? And things of that nature, or dishonor, and things of that nature. And so there's, you know, pressure from our culture, pressure from society to, you know, put on, you know, quote unquote, the persona of success, right? And unfortunately, in culture, mental health doesn't fit into that persona, right? And so, you know, those beliefs might be valid for cultures, right? For the perception or perceived, you know, state of a culture. But when you think about the effects that it has on people, You know, and they actually really do need help. They really do need a professional to talk to. They really do need that that step. You know, I would love to, you know, and I know you were on your way down that rabbit hole, but, you know, let's spend some time there and talk about the cultural stigmas that comes with therapy. Even when we talked about, you know, looking at the past year or since 2020, you know, it was 30% of white adults went to therapy, but only 15% of African American and only 12% of Latino Hispanic culture of adults were in therapy, right? And so we look at that, right? And that's clearly something that we can tie to. And you know, let me disclaim, like, I'm Black, if you don't know, for those that are listening. And so I can speak from experience when it comes to Black culture and how we deal with mental health. You know, I am 40 years old, and for the first time in life, I'm having conversations with family members about mental health, like, and things that we've dealt with for years and how we're handling that. Like, we've never done this, right? And so I would love to hear your thoughts. And again, let's go down that rabbit trail, and then we're going to shift to another one before we close out, but floor is yours.
Absolutely. When from hearing what you're talking about, there are many points to why there has been challenges for our communities to get the help that we need. I think one of them, and we can go through more than just one, but one of them is the prioritization of physical health. Historically, mental health has been overshadowed by that. And especially in our communities, it's almost like the more pressing issues are our physical health disparities, and then our mental health ones are overlooked and they're seen as less urgent because a broken bone or diabetes is, it's almost like depression or anxiety or anything major when it comes to mental health inefficiencies can be overlooked because of the physical health. And so a lot of times people neglect the support that they can get through their mental health, if that makes sense. And another thing I see is, we talked about it, the intersectionality. A lot of people in our communities or marginalized communities, we face a lot of different oppressions based on our race, ethnicity, our gender, our socioeconomic status, disabilities, and that leads to a lot of different challenges when it comes to our mental health with like our mental health challenges. And so a lot of us find different ways to recognize and address those identities to provide support. And sometimes we run in our communities, we run to drugs or alcohol or other things that are not healthy to help us to be able to cope with some of these issues that we don't have answers for. Another thing that is major, I'm working with kids now, and I see this one a lot, where it's, if we don't understand something, instead of us going to get the answers, so our cultural competency gaps, because mental health services have not adequately addressed cultural and linguistic needs, if that makes sense, for the communities I'll speak for, immigrant and refugee communities, right? A lot of us have cultural competency gaps. So does the marginalized communities. And so there's a lack of trust and a lack of engagement with mental health care because we don't understand what y'all saying. We don't understand what's going on. So I don't trust you, and I don't care to bridge that gap to know that your spaces have healing that I can put into my life. And I think that's the disconnect that I see with mental health spaces and our communities. Because a lot of times mental health services, there's a shift that's happening now, but a lot of times the perspective of our communities and the unique experiences that we have are not able to be surfaced in this cookie cutter, the way that mental health spaces have been given. But I love that back in 2020, telehealth for mental health had opened up, and there were more mental health services being able to meet people where they were at, instead of it being this like space where people that could afford it can just go and get the help that they needed. And it was really quiet, and people didn't know about it. And which leads to my next thing, the lack of access. A lot of people in our communities, we are limited access to a lot of resources. So that means professionals, mental health professionals, therapy, affordable medications, if it's ascribed to it. And the lack of these access cause our mental health disparities to exacerbate and to become higher. And it prevents people, individuals, from receiving the necessary support. And I could go on and on and on. Like these are the things that keep me up at night. Because I know how receiving the right support, how getting the right care can take someone who was in chaos mentally, internal chaos, and bring calm to them. And oftentimes when we have external chaos, it mimics the internal chaos that we have. And so it's needed. It's so needed. I think that stigma causes us to have this lack of confidence to actually figure out what's wrong with us. And so we have a lot of our community living life with things that are curable, things that are able to be helped, but we're in denial, underreporting, and we're reluctant to seek help. Because our culture is not sensitive to the specific mental health needs, and we don't want the shame that will come with it. But a lot of my culture likes to demonize a lot of things that are not actually spiritual, but physical. And it's like, if that person got the right care or the right medication, they would be able to be the best version of themselves. But instead, a lot of our communities are trying to pray things away that need to be worked on. They're trying to overlook things. And then it drags. And this is what makes me really sad. It drags. So something that could have been worked on is now lasting a whole lifetime, when two or three sessions or some medication could have helped, you know?
Yeah. And I think you are like, again, like, you took it right to that rabbit hole again, right into the other aspect of stigma that I want to go into. And you talked about, like, you know, people just want to pray it away, quote unquote, right? And this is obviously, this is a Christian podcast, and all perspectives that we offer are godly. But, you know, at the same time, when it comes to mental health, you know, I think that there's also a bit of a stigma in the Christian community, right? Because we just want to pray everything away. We want to cast out everything. We want to, and that's not me saying that those things don't exist, right? There are demonic forces at work on this earth. There are all of those things are valid and specific and true. But, you know, there's nothing like, I'm going to say it for me, like, this is me, right? And I think that's the best way to approach this. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody what their problems are, what they might think or what they might feel, But I'm gonna say what for me, for Nick, right? My mm-hmm. dad issues growing up were not demonic. Mm-hmm. Let me just say what it is, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with my dad, and I did a series a few years back about that, father figures. You probably, if you haven't listened, go back and listen. But I can tell you that there was nothing demonic about my dad issues, right? Mm-hmm. There was nothing demonic about that, right? There was nothing demonic about certain choices that I was making in life that led to me going through things and losing people and losing myself, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing demonic about that. That there's mm-hmm. those are things and choices that I made that were tied to specific things in my past, that were tied to specific mindsets that I had, that mm-hmm. I needed professional help from a mental health professional who happened mm-hmm. to be Christian as well. Mm-hmm. That helped me see, hey, this is not from a biblical standpoint, but from a practical standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you really look at it, and I found this interesting, like the Bible does not explicitly speak on the topic of mental health. However, mm-hmm. it does have a lot to say about the heart, the mind, mm-hmm. spiritual mm-hmm. brokenness, the condition of the soul, which yeah. all sounds like mental health things to me, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of scriptures that we can find that speak about, you know, indirectly speaks of mental health, right? It talks about God renewing our minds, Romans 12:2. We talk about restoration of the soul, Psalm 23:3. We talk about, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control, 2 Timothy 1:7. And so we have to make sure that, you know, there's a balance, right? Because there is. And I love, I've seen the t-shirts, I've seen the thing like, you know, we need Jesus and therapy in that order, you know, because at the end of the day, God, Jesus is love and Jesus is the way and the light and the truth, right? But there's nothing wrong with also having, you know, someone that is a professional that has been given to us. God has allowed this person to get the teaching and the training and be able to help people like yourself, right? To be able to be gifted in helping people navigate mental health, mental difficulties, right? And again, going back to the stigma that you mentioned at the beginning, right? Mental health is not mental illness, right? Grief is mental health, right? Depression is mental health. Sadness is mental health. Loneliness is mental health. Anger is mental health, right? Those types of things that we can get practical help, but also seek spiritual help as well, right? And guidance, right? And so I'm curious, when you think about that stigma when it comes to the Christian community, I would love for you to share your thoughts on that before we close out.
You brought an amazing perspective when you were talking about how, like, it doesn't necessarily talk about mental health, but it does bring in, the Bible does talk about our mind and our emotion and our spirit, and that's the very essence of our being. And a lot of times, we as people are created in the image of God and have an intrinsic value and worth, and mental health is often hidden in this stigma and understanding and misunderstanding that touches on who we are, how we think, how we feel. And the Bible, it offers answers. It offers understanding and compassion to those who struggle with mental health. It's not something that's policing or damning you to hell, you know? And even when we look at Jesus Christ and his ministry on earth, he demonstrated profound empathy and care toward those who were suffering from various afflictions. And even though they didn't point out mental health, like in the scripture, but like, even when you think of like Matthew 11, when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." It's an invitation that extends to us, right? About burdens, and mental health challenges are those burdens also that are heavy laden, you know, like, and it's inviting you to the healing space that's possible. And also it encourages us to bear one another's burdens. And so it's highlighting that importance that you're not going to do it by yourself, that community and support is in when understanding and addressing mental health challenges, that you need that community. But also when you think of the wisdom that's given in the Old Testament, there's wisdom that's given about counsel and how kings, that kings go when they're about to go to war or when they're about to make a big decision, the Bible talks about how you want to have wise counsel and many counsel, right? And so that's the same thing, right? Not if you are a businessman, you're going to want to have counsel in the area of business. If you want to be successful, at least you want to be a success in any area in entrepreneurship, you're going to want a coach. You're going to want someone to kind of help guide you and help you with those answers. And it's the same way with your mental health. You're going to want coaches and you're going to want guides and you're going to want counsel to help you in the areas that you might not understand even about yourself. And so in summary, I think that when it comes to what the Bible says about, I believe that it calls for a compassionate and understanding and supportive approach towards us, those who are facing mental health challenges, and it affirms our worth and dignity as beings that are created by God. But it also challenges us that if we lack wisdom and we want it, to search it and to seek it out. And some of the beautiful technologies that we have to be able to help with mental health is that we have coaches, we have therapists, we have psychotherapy, we have these different avenues that are open for us to be able to seek out. And I think that it's beautiful that we have those opportunities. And so, yeah, I would say there are areas that could be concerning or red flags. So of course, when you're looking for your therapist, or when you're looking for your counsel, or you're looking for your help, be prayerful in it. Absolutely. But don't stay stuck. Seek out your help. It reminds me, like, I didn't know I was blind until I went and got a checkup. And when I got my checkup, they were like, you need glasses. And I was like, okay. I went and I got my glasses. When I wore my glasses, I was like, wow, I did not know I was that blind. Right? And there are some of us that are living a clouded life, are living a life limping when it comes to our ability to be able to walk out our mental health spaces. But because of fear, we're missing out on being able to live life with the clarity, with the mental health space that we were created to live with and created to experience.
No, that is so good. Like, that is literally, like, the way you broke that down, the way that we've tied this episode, like, in the perfect bow, like, in my opinion, like, we brought it full circle, because that, at the end of the day, right, like, that is where we are, right? And I love the example of the glasses, right? Your glasses, right? You did not know you were that blind until you put on glasses, right? Yeah. I would even say the same way when it comes to therapy. Like, I'm going to say it for me, because I don't speak for other people. I didn't know I was that jacked up until a therapist said to me, right? Because, again, certain people you tend to turn off and you don't hear, right? It could be right in your face, mm-hmm. that same person, that spouse, that loved one, that friend, that whoever is saying, like, no, no, it's just me, man. It's how I am, right? But then when that person gets you, and I'll never forget something a therapist said to me a few years ago, and it was about things that I was dealing with and going back and trying to figure out where this, you know, where these things stemmed from, because that's a common question. Where did this begin? Where did it come from? And the biggest thing that I learned out of that at that time was, you know, sometimes the greatest keys that we need to unlock things about us are in our past. Things that we buried long ago, things that we put somewhere else that we said, you know what, I'm going to take this hurt and I'm going to lock it up and I'm going to bury it and I'll never deal with it again. I'll never deal with it, right? But we lock it away. And then eventually, slowly, it eats at us and it tears us away and all of those things, right? But those are keys that I need. That was something that I needed to hear to help me with that, to see like, wow, like, okay, so I do need to go back and deal with that, huh? I do need to talk about that. Like, I thought me putting it under the rug was dealing with it. I thought that was healing, you know, and I don't want to go down that particular rabbit trail because that's going to be episode three or four. Like, it's, you know, we don't want to do that all in one shot. But I think where we are, this is like the perfect spot to like shift and close this first episode out. But I'm hoping that, you know, whether you're listening, wherever you are, like making sure that you're hearing this and this. And I want to leave you with this quote before we jump into prayer and before we jump into one more thing. And it's from C.S. Lewis, right? And I feel like this bridges, it's a good bridge to this faith, mental health debate, right? This stigma. And this is C.S. Lewis. And if you don't know who that is, he's very renowned Christian author. Very good. Very just amazing books, amazing everything about this man and things that he shares. But he's had this quote and it said, "I have learned now that while those who speak about one's miseries usually hurt, but those who keep silent hurt more." And I think that's where we are at this intersection of faith and therapy and mental health and healing. We don't really know which one should go first. We don't know how we should navigate these streets, quote unquote, right? And I think the biggest thing is we have to understand that I really believe that they're supposed to intersect. They're supposed to be an intersection in mental health and faith and healing. It all works for our good, right? And we have to leverage it. We have to use it. We have to let go of our stigmas. We have to let go of those ideals and those cultural things that hold us back. You know, because I think that there's so much that God has for us on the other side of the stigma if we just let go. And then any final thoughts before we close out?
Heavy. Yes, you're dropping bombs and then you're saying, okay, let's close out. But I love that what you were talking about where it all comes together and intersects. We are tri-part beings just like our God is Father, Son, Spirit, and we are we're soul, spirit, and body. And it all intersects. If I get into a car accident and one of my arteries isn't working right, that can mess with the way that my vision works. It can mess with the way that I think. It can mess with the way that I present in life. So what happens to me physically does matter in my soul realm, which is my mind, will, and emotions. And what happens to me spiritually also intersects with that as well. And so a lot of us as people, we like to separate these events. And we don't realize that mental health can help with physical health. Physical health can help with mental health. Spiritual health can help with mental health. And mental health can help with spiritual health. Spiritual health can help with physical health, and physical health can also help with spiritual. And so it's us knowing that it's all interconnected. And I'm so excited for the people that are listening to this and saying, you know what? I want to start taking it serious. I want to start taking my mental health serious, because at the end of the day, it's either you're going to make time for it or it's going to make time for you. And it's going to be by fire, by force.
100%. And before we pray, like, I want to make sure that, especially this series, like every time that we come together, like, I want to let you know, like, there's resources out there to help. And I think for me, mental health is a big thing and a serious thing. And I want you to know, like, if there's something that you need immediate help in, because we've all, you know, some of us, I can't say all, but I know for me, like, there was a moment where I needed immediate help. I needed, you know, I was contemplating not being here anymore. I was contemplating suicide. And I want to make sure that every episode we end with, there are resources in the United States, and I just found out in the world, there are international suicide hotlines in all countries. And we're going to drop this link on the page for these episodes. We're going to make sure that we drop them, so you have them, wherever country you're in, wherever country you're listening from. It shows the hotlines that you dial, and I'm not going to go into every one because there's so many of them. But in the U.S., it's 988. That's the suicide hotline. Just dial 988, and someone will pick up. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they'll talk to you. They will ask you. They will reach out. They will help you in the moment, right? And it's free. There's nothing you have to pay for that, right? And even in other countries, there's the same kind of numbers, just different number combination, right? And so based on your call code. And so we're going to drop that link in there, but we want to make sure we offer practical, right? Because this isn't just about praying something away. This is also about getting practical help and getting real-time help. If it's something else, like, you can contact Vantage Point and let us know. We'll walk through, we'll reach out, we'll find resources. But man, make sure that you're leveraging these things. There's no shame in this at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also wanted to add another reference. For those of you guys that are not heavy talkers and you're good with texting, there is if you text 741-741, there will be a licensed behavioral health, mental health licensed professional on the other side of the text to talk with you, to text with you whatever help you might need. And so if you can't do the phone calling, you need a text. It's only a text away, 741-741. Also, I am a behavioral health coach, and I would love to chat with you. I would love, there's a problem or a solution. There's a problem that you need a solution for. If there's chaos internally and you want to make it, and you want to find a way to bring calm, that is absolutely what I love to do. And so these spaces are open. You can find me at www.speakbacktolife.com. And when you get there, you can book an appointment. But the resources are now becoming more available. So thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited to get even deeper on other episodes. Woo. I'm super excited.
Yeah, me too. And man, Naomi, I appreciate you making the time, offering your resources on this episode and every other episode for this series. You'll be able to click on those links, the website Naomi just provided. You'll see her in the guest roster as well on every episode. So you'll be able to click and find those resources as well. So we, again, this is not just about talking to people and preaching to people. Like, we're going to give you practical stuff. You can literally click of a button to get the help. And so, man, we're going to close out, but I'm excited to see what we continue to do, what God does with this series. And who knows, we might take this all the way through May too. We'll see what happens, right? A lot of layers to peel back. And so with that said, I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. But Father God, we just thank you for this time, for this opportunity. We thank you for the words that you're speaking, the words that you're showing us, and the revelation that you're giving us. And so for anyone listening, the sound of our voices, Father, just continue to bless them, continue to uplift them, continue to build them up, Father God. Continue to let them know that they can seek help, Father God, without shame. They can seek help without worry. They can seek help without fear, Father God, for you have established and given us these things to reach out to, Father. And so even in prayer, Father God, allow us and speak to your people, Father God. It is in your son's name we pray. Amen. And man, again, can't wait for the next episode, y'all, man. Make sure you share, like, subscribe, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Whatever it is you do, definitely continue to roll with us, rock with us on Vantage Point Podcast. And as always, keep seeking insight, keys, and perspective to everyday living through the lens of God. It'll change your world and your life. God bless.